something planned afterwards. But I want to really spend some time here tonight, first teaching a little bit about prayer, and number two, then I want to do some praying. There's seasons in our church, and I've noticed this as a pastor, there's seasons where the church seems to be facing a lot. Now, we can both say that nationally. We know that we're facing a lot, but I would say Abundant Life Tabernacle here in the last so many weeks or maybe months or so, we've had a lot going on in our families, and I know some things that maybe you don't know because I'm the pastor and I have conversations, get phone calls maybe that you don't get. But if it be in our immediate family, if it be in our bodies, if it be just whatever it is, how many knows that we face difficult times even as a church family? You know, sometimes we look and we say, man, everything seems to be going smooth right now. And other times you look and say, man, everything seems to be going wrong, it seems like. But regardless, God is faithful. And He has given us the resources that we need in order to make it. So here tonight, what I want to do is take a little bit of time. I won't be extremely lengthy on this, but I want to give you some biblical instruction about praying and about what it means to pray. And I know that seems very simple, but I will be honest with you. In my own life, prayer is something I always feel like I could do a little bit more of. All right, I do plenty of eating. I do a lot of reading. I'm a reader, and sometimes I can do so much reading, and I say, Lord, you know what? I need to put all this down. I need to get down and pray. You got to do more than just know things. How many knows that's the truth? Amen. Something about prayer and spending time with God transforms us, challenges us. So I want to talk to you about that here this evening. I do not have one text over the other that I'm going to give you because I'm going to go to various different places in the Bible. So what I want to do, number one, before I teach about prayer, I want to pray and ask God to help us for a few moments and ask God to be with us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us here tonight. Meet with us, God, here at this church. God, I know we've talked about prayer before. I know we've studied it in the Sunday school hour. I know I've said a lot about it right from this pulpit, Holy Ghost. But God, just because we are familiar with something, sometimes we need to hear it again and be reminded. I know our church is going through a lot. There's several that are facing sickness in their bodies, some that are facing situations in their families and on the jobs. And God, I know sometimes, God, it's just the way that life is and we have to go through these things. Other times it could be an attack of the enemy. But whatever it is, God, I would that You'd help us here tonight and be with us in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. I'll share this with you by way of introduction. It was a little bit comical the other day. I was riding down the road, and my little girl Chloe in the back seat, her or Braxton, they got talking about what would it be like if you could talk to a genie. Now, does anybody know what a genie is? Kind of like that Persian mystical creature. How many wishes do you get? Three wishes. All of us seem to know about that, and I know that's strange things to even talk about, but in the mind of children in the world of Disney, there's something they're very accommodated with. Amen. They know about that genie. They begin talking about, if I had three wishes, what would they be? And my daughter, trying to be pretty noble, says some pretty nice things and about how she'd like to help this person and that person and whatever. She was going through those different things, and I got thinking about that a little bit. I know that genies are not real. I don't have any belief in that at all, and I have no desire to meet a genie. Amen. But I do know this, that when I come to God, He's greater than all of that. You know, we live in this world that we think having three wishes to find whatever our heart's desire would be something that is amazing, and that if a genie did exist, that would be some amazing thing. Well, I studied a lot into apologetics. My mind works like this. If there is a genie, He's that powerful. Who made the genie? And so we start going down this long list of things. Who's this powerful being that would have made this genie that could do this? And I always come back to this conclusion. God is the most powerful person that I can think of. God is in control. He is sovereign. He is pure and He is holy. And what is so amazing about that is that God has invited us to come to Him in prayer. He has told us time and time again that we need to believe on Him, we need to trust Him, and that God would meet us through prayer. I've often said this here behind this pulpit. I don't understand everything how prayer works. I know that God tells me to do it. I know He tells me to come to Him. He tells me to ask. He tells me to knock. He tells me to believe. But I don't know everything about prayer and how all of it works and how to balance all of those things out. I know God knows about it. I know He tells me to do these things. But I want to talk to you here tonight about conditions to answered prayer. When we talk about praying and we talk about having prayers answered, we know that's an amazing thing, that we can come to God. He is all powerful. We talked about this morning that He is an infinite God, and He tells me as a finite being, look, I can come to Him. I can talk to Him. I can make petitions. I can lay open my heart before Him. I can be vulnerable. I have a great high priest in heaven. I have the Spirit of God working within my life. And the Bible tells us time and time again to come to Him. As a matter of fact, Matthew 21 and 22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatsoever you ask for in prayer. A little paraphrase there, but He's telling us we have some conditions. We've got to believe when we come to Him. We've been studying this on Wednesday night services. What does it mean to believe? It's more than just a credence. It's more than just saying, yeah, I know God exists, but believing is an active thing in our lives. It's when we go to Him knowing and believing that He is able to do something. That's what I love about prayer. It doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank account. It doesn't matter if you have a degree. It doesn't matter if you're somebody famous or poor. When you come to Him believing on Him, He will hear your prayers. He will listen to you. He will take it into account, and He knows how to meet the needs in your life. So what I want to do here tonight is give you some biblical instruction concerning prayer, and we're going to talk about these conditions to prayer. If you want God to answer prayers in your life, how must you pray? If you want to have an understanding of how God works, what does the Bible say about Him and prayer? Point number one here tonight is this. We are to pray to our Heavenly Father. Now, that is very, very simple to understand that. You say, Brother Derek, I know that. Heard it my whole life that we are to come to Him and we are to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. That condition to prayer might seem very obvious to you as you've heard it your whole entire life. But what this is saying is when we come to God, we come to Him to a specific God, if you would, a capital G. We do not pray to false gods. We do not pray to ourselves. We do not pray to angels. We do not pray to Buddha. We do not pray to the Virgin Mary. We pray to the God of the Bible, the God that has revealed Himself to us, the God that the pages of Scripture, God that has revealed Himself to us and said, look, you come to me and you pray. And how has He revealed Himself to us? He's revealed Himself to us in the New Testament as our Heavenly Father. Amen. He is our Heavenly Father, which means that there is a Father-Son relationship between Him and us. We are dependent on Him. We are needful of Him. And we're going to read through the Scriptures time and time again that our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. And just like I, as an earthly father, strive to meet the needs and the lives of my children through provision and protection and doing whatever I can. And sometimes as their father, I tell them yes. Sometimes as their father, I tell them no. Sometimes as their father, I get to congratulate them. Other times as their father, I get to correct them. Why is that? Because that authority has been given to me and delegated to me as their earthly father. But I want you to think about this. When we go to our Heavenly Father, He knows when to tell you no, and He knows when to tell you yes. A lot of times we like the yes and we don't like the no. But the yes and the no are equally important because He's a perfect Father. He's a holy Father. And He knows exactly what we have need of. So when I come to Him as a child and I come to Him needing and I come to Him believing, we understand that as His children, He knows exactly what we have need of. That's why we must understand this. When you got born again, the Bible tells us, but as many has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's a supernatural transaction in your life. When you got born again, at that moment, he gave you the dunamis. He gave you the power. He gave you the ability now to be a child of God. And everybody in this room, you fall in that category or you don't. You're either a child of God or you're not a child of God. He's either your heavenly father or he's not your heavenly father. And if he is your heavenly father, I get to go to him in believing prayer, knowing that he cares for me and loves me and is going to give me everything that I have need of. Not all of my wants, but what I have need of in life, he knows what to give me in this life. Secondly, notice this. We are to pray for good things. No duh, Brother Derek. Isn't that what we're supposed to pray for? Matthew 7 and verse 11 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Again, you may say, Brother Derek, I know I'm to pray for good things. That's very simple in my mind. That's very obvious to me. But I want you to notice this. What you think is good is not necessarily what God thinks is good. Right? There's some times that you or I may pray, I know I need this, Lord. Give me good things. And what you thought you needed was really not what you needed. Sometimes in life, maybe God even grants something in your life because you beg for it so much. And through his permissive will, he didn't fully. He said, you know what? Go your own. I'm not going to deal with you on this right. I've dealt with you. You won't listen. Go ahead. And you think you need this in your life. And God allows you as a free moral agent to go your way and make that decision. And you realize this the whole time. And now I realize where God told me no in the first place. I know why he convicted me, why I didn't need to go this way, or I didn't need this in my life. How many people have ended up in relationships because they had to have this woman or this man, and they realized this, God the whole time told them no and precautioning them, and finally God in his mercy and grace says, you know what, I can't keep doing. I'm not going to come to, I'm going to let you go your own way right here. I could judge me, I judge you, I could do all of this, but he lets you go your own way, and you learn the hard way in life. There's times in life you thought you needed something, you thought it was good, but that what you thought was good ended up being a curse to you. So what I'm saying is pray for good gifts, not as you see it, but as your heavenly Father sees it. Goes back to point one. I realize this as an earthly father. I often know what's better for my children when they don't know what's better for them. They think good is eating bubble gum all day. Come on. And fruit roll. They think good is not eating dinner and doing this. All of these different things they think is good, but I know as an adult and as somebody that's their father, no, you're not going to do this. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow this. So you and I, brothers and sisters, go to God, and as our heavenly Father, he knows exactly what we need in our lives. Many times in life, we don't understand that. Like the Apostle Paul, he prayed three times that this thorn would be removed from his flesh. But guess what the Bible tells us? God tells him three times, no. And that his grace is sufficient for him. Paul didn't think this was good, but God did. And so sometimes in life, you got to understand this. You thought it was bad, God thought it was good. Or when you think something's good, and God may think it's bad. You've got to have the perspective of the Heavenly Father. We don't like a thorn in the flesh, do we? We don't like going through trials and hardships, but God knows exactly what we have need of. Amen. Thirdly, we need to pray for needful things. Philippians 4 and 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Notice this. God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This doesn't say all of your wants. I went to Bass Pro Shop the other day with the kids to walk around. I want all those boats. But I want them all given to me. Boy, they'll give you a 10-year loan on them things. I don't know what the interest is, but it wouldn't be wise. Now, I want that, but I've got enough common sense how foolish it would be to go buy a $27,000 bass boat with another child on the way. With even not on the one on the way, the ones I got. What I'm saying is, now, if I had the money and the ability, not necessarily sinful, not bad, not wrong if you're able, and maybe one day I'll be able to buy a boat or something like that. Again, nothing wrong with them. I love them. I've been raised on the water. I've always enjoyed that. But $27,000 and a fourth child on the way, is that a need in my life? Don't hurt my feelings now. Tell me it's a need. That's how we treat God, right? Sometimes. God, I know I don't need this, but I really, really want this. The promise is that God will supply all our needs. Again, not all of our wants. There is a difference. He talks about the sparrows and the lilies. They have what they need, and so will we. The psalmist would say in Psalms 37 and 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Notice there, it doesn't say that he's always seen the righteous with a bass boat. It says he's seen the righteous have the necessities of life. God knows what I have need of in this world and in this life. So we must understand this. We need to pray for needful things, even at times when we don't know what the needful things are. That's a little tough, isn't it? We get down to pray and say, God, you know what I need. You know what I need. I know what I want. I want to come out of this trial. I want this amount of money. I want this to be this way. But God, I trust you because you know what I need. It's not about what I want. If I always got what I wanted, I probably wouldn't be here today. But God, you supply my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So number three, again, notice this. We need to pray for God's will that he would supply to us what we have need of. Fourthly, we need to pray from a righteous heart. James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can quote it. You know it. But let me ask you this. When you get down to pray, are you praying out of a righteous heart? Are you praying out of a pure heart? The Bible tells us time and time again, he hears the prayers of the righteous. Is your heart pure when you get down to pray? Is it coming out of a prayer? Is it the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman? That's what's going to avail. God's not interested in hearing the carnal prayers. He's not interested in you just telling him what you think it ought to be, what you think this should be. He wants your heart to have the right demeanor, and he wants you to have the right condition. That is the type of prayer that's going to prevail. The Bible speaks of having a clean conscience and having a clean hands. And it tells us many times, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with that pure water. It tells us that we ought to have a certain sense of cleanliness in our life, that we come to him and that we're in a righteous condition. If you got sin in your heart, like the Bible tells us in Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do you realize your sins can hinder your prayer life? You think you can pray over unconfessed sin. Yeah. And God knows if you've really repented or not. You know, we got to have, Lord, I said, God, give me discernment in these last days, because we live in such complex times and such psychological times. Everything's about the emotions. It's so therapeutic, you know. It's about this person's emotions and her emotions and his emotions. It's not much about God's word. We got to have some absolutes here. We got to have a foundation. We got to have something we can stand on. I'm not basing my walk with God on how I feel. I've said that 100 times behind this pulpit. I need to know what God's word says. And a lot of times in life, people will commit sins and they'll live in a carnal lifestyle and they'll run that mouth and that tongue tongue is untamed, and their thought life is untamed, and their heart and the condition of their spirit is not right, and they live carnal, they live perverted, they look at things on their phone they ought not look at, they say things they ought not say, they think they can blow up at their wife, or a wife can blow up at the husband and just sweep it underneath the rug and come to church and pray. I'm telling you right now, sometimes your prayers are unanswered because of the sin that has been harvested in your heart. You haven't got it right with God, and you want to come to God and pray and say, God, I know I've got something here. I know I've got something hoarded up in my heart, but I want you to ignore that and answer my prayer. That's not how it works. You've got to confess. You've got to confess. You've got to get sin and iniquity out of your heart. If you regard sin in your heart, God's not going to. And that idea of regarding is this: you know it's there. It's not this idea that you don't know about something. You know it. I've met people this way, and sadly, I've seen it just in years of ministry. I don't know why some people just don't pray through. They'll allow something to hoard up in that heart, and a decade will go by. Years will go by, 20 years will go by, and they have this in their heart, and they wonder why God doesn't seem to answer their prayers. I'm telling you, I don't know everything, but I know what the Bible says. If my heart is right, God will give me what I need. I can trust Him. Even if I end up in the middle of a storm and things are not going right like I want them to, if I'm living a righteous life, God knows exactly where I am, and He's going to take care of me. If I end up leaving this world to be absent in this body, to be present with the Lord, I have that assurance. You have to live with that assurance in your life. The problem is, some of this world do not pray as they should because they don't have that assurance that their heart is right with God. But I'll tell you this, you cannot trick or manipulate God. He is not somebody that you can manipulate. He's holy and He knows about it. He knows about it. Confess it. And you may say, well, Brother Derek, I hadn't committed any great moral sin. Do you know sometimes in life there's sins that we have sanitized? Sins of the mind? You know, we're living in an age, and I won't get through this, but I've got to say it. We're living in an age that they don't think it's a sin unless you commit it physically. The Bible speaks of sin being a condition of your heart. Well, I didn't touch that woman, but I sure think about her a lot. An adulterer in your heart. I didn't kill them, but boy, I hate them. You're murdering your heart. The Bible speaks. We're moving that age with this idea of homosexuality. They say, well, you know, somebody can be a homosexual, but as long as they don't act on it, it's not a sin. No. Just like adultery, you got to confess that and repent of that too. It's a sin at the very root of it, the intention of it. So when you come to God, you may say justifiably, you say, I didn't commit any sins. I didn't say it. But boy, I'd like to say it to them. You've got to get that heart right. And God knows about that when you pray. Hence, it may be why you avoid the prayer closet, because your heart's not right. Number five, we need to pray with a grateful heart. Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing. And everything talks about prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your supplication, your request, be known unto God. How many knows that thanksgiving and prayer go hand in hand? Sometimes you get down to pray. Sometimes you get down, don't even ask for anything. She said, God, just thank you. Thank you. We ought to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, you could be lost and on your way to hell. Your marriage could be ruined. All these things we can name, but God in His mercy and His grace has blessed you and helped you. You ought to be thankful here tonight. We ought to be thankful when we get down to praying. As a matter of fact, start there by praising and being thankful to Him. Part of prayer is an attitude of thanksgiving. When you pray from an ungrateful heart, you're only focusing on the negatives of life, and that's going to hinder your prayer life. If you're unthankful, you're ungrateful, you're normally a negative person. But I'll tell you right now, there's some things in my life I want to get better, just like in your own life. But I guarantee I could spend a good bit of time in an altar thanking God for a lot of good things. Number six, pray according to the will of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. that we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. An important condition of prayer is this: are we praying in the will of God? Not the will of Derek, not your will, but in God's will. Sometimes we can get down and pray, even in sincerity, and say, God, I'm praying for X, Y, Z. But God's will is not X, Y, Z, it's A, B, C. And the whole time you're saying, no, Lord, I need this to happen this way, and I need this to do this and all of that. And the whole time God is saying, no, I'm going to do it that way. The Bible speaks of some prayers being amiss. You know what that means? Prayers that miss the mark. They miss it. Why? Because James would say, you pray amiss. Why do you want the God to answer this prayer? So you can consume this upon your own lust. What is he saying? He's saying there's sometimes in life we may pray, and the reason we want God to answer that prayer is not for God's will, it's not for God's glory, it's not to the benefit of our spirit or to the benefit of our neighbor, but it's that we can take that and we can consume it the way we want to consume it, and to consume it upon our own lust. That idea of lust is not always sexual or sinful in that sense, but doing with it what you want to do with it. God sometimes has other plans. You've got to know his will in order for your prayers to be answered. If you need a healing in your body tonight, I've asked this before, why do you want God to heal you? Ask yourself that. Natural answer, I want to feel better. Praise the Lord, yes. But how about praying this way? God, I want to feel better, but why do you want to feel better? God, I want to feel better so I can do your will. God, I want you to raise me up. Why? That I can serve you. It ain't God, heal me so I can live my American dream and live for myself and do it this way and do it that way. No, what about praying and say, God, give me some more years. Give me a healthy body. Why? So I can do the will of God. That's the prayers that God will answer. Yeah, Paul on the island of Melita takes the sticks, throws them to the fire. You know, what jumps out and bites them? You remember? A viper. You don't hear Paul saying, you know what? I don't believe in Paul's heart. He's like, Lord, I hope I can shake this off in the fire so I can go on another vacation. Why does he want to live? Nothing wrong with the vacations. Just went on one. But why does he want to live? To do the will of God. There's miracles that need to be done. The gospel needs to be permeating throughout the world. God, heal me. Let me do your will. Number 7, we need to pray in the authority of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us time and time again, whatsoever we shall ask in that name. So we understand that Jesus, that name, that authority, what does that mean? It means there's authority in that name. There's something more than just a name. You know, the name Jesus Christ is not just some magical word that you say and invoke for the fun of it. No, when you think of a name, you think of a person. When you think of a person, you think of a life. When you think of a life, you think of a character. When you think of that character, you think of what they've done. So when I'm praying in the name of Jesus Christ, when we talk about Jesus, he was not the only one named Jesus in his day. He was not the only one named that. Jesus is Yeshua or Joshua from the Old Testament. There's a lot of people named Jesus, but he's not just Jesus. He is Jesus Christ. Christ Christos being the anointed one. He is a special one. There's something about him, his life, his character, his atonement. I'm praying in that name. I'm not just praying in the name of Joshua. I'm praying in the name that's above every name. What is that name? He's Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the name that hell recognizes. That's the name I come to my prayer closet with and say, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. What am I saying? What Jesus accomplished on my behalf. Lord, I embrace that. I want to live it. I want to do the will of God, but I come in the authority of the name of Jesus. Number 8, understand this. We need to pray persistently. It's kind of lost art today, and I'm not saying I got it all figured out. I could do better myself. You remember that story about that woman and the unjust judge? About drove that unjust judge plumb crazy. He finally said, give her what she wants. Get her out. That crazy woman, and I preached it years ago, praying like a mad woman. I mean, she wants, I want to be avenged of my adversary. Knocking on the door. I want to be avenged of my adversary. Driving him. Give her what she wants. And Christ would tell us that he's not like an unjust judge. He knows what we have need of. But he does tell us to be persistent in prayer. To be persistent. The Bible tells us pray without ceasing. One of the conditions of effective prayer is this, that I'm not going to give up. I'm going to pray until I pray through. And when I pray through, it may not always be what I want it to be, but I'll have the answer and the wisdom and the guidance that I need when everything is said and done. Number 9, we need to pray unselfishly. I've already mentioned this. You ask, you receive not because you ask amiss. Again, we have to ask this question, what is our motives in prayer? There's nothing wrong with having needs, but we've got to ask God, we've got to pray to God and say, Lord, this isn't just about me. I want to do what you want me to do. Number 10, my last point, we've got to pray in faith. It tells us, but let him ask in faith, not nothing wavering. Talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So let me ask you this, and we're about to pray. When you come to God, is your mind singular? Is your mind devoted? Or are we double-minded at times? Can I be honest with you from Derek Jones? There's times I get down to pray, and I say, Lord, help me to focus on what's true. Help me focus on your promises, not on what I think. God, it doesn't. Why do I go to God and tell him what I think? I know he puts up with it. I know he allows me to come and be honest and ask questions. And Lord, I don't know why this is happening. God's not afraid of a hard question from you and I. He's not afraid of the questions of Job. He's not mad at Job for asking questions. But he wants us to understand something. Do not get to the place that we are ridiculing him as if he's done something wrong. God has never done nothing wrong. Never. Never has he done anything wrong. Tells us to come to believe and not be double-minded. What is a double mind? It's not a devoted mind. But there's some of us, when we get down to pray, our mind is split between two worlds. I've got God's word over here. I know it's right. But boy, I've watched a lot of stuff this week. And I've heard a lot. And I believe in that over this. You see how your mind can be divided? Now, that's not against information. It's not against wisdom and it's not against knowledge. But when everything comes down to it, if it contradicts the word of God, what do I side with? The word of God. Can't be double-minded. I think in the Bible of a few different prayers in closing. How about Joshua's prayer and the sun is going to stand still in Joshua chapter 10. I think that's a pretty audacious request. Right? Sons, you know, pray that the sun stand still. Now, you know, interesting there, if you want to get in a little bit of a debate. From what we understand, is the sun moving? No, what's revolving around what? If anything, God, can you stop the universe for a little bit? Let us finish this battle out. Think about that. It ain't that the sun's moving. Now, Joshua doesn't have the understanding of all that. The sun's there. It's what he sees. But we know in the age of science, we know a lot more about this universe. The sun stands still, Lord. Let it all stand still. Elijah's prayer for rain to be withheld. And later he prayed that the rain would fall. But guess what? He was a man of like passions like us. Jesus would pray at the tomb of Lazarus. That's what we're studying on Wednesday nights. God, I'm glad that you hear me. And he prays according to the will of God. I want my wife to go to the piano. So the struggle we face in getting our prayers answered is simply this. Is getting our will lined up with the will of God. How many would agree tonight that we want exactly what God wants us to have? How many agrees with that? God, I want you to give me exactly what I need. Stand to your feet. God invites us to pray. When we pray, we got to believe. Now, I preached this here tonight for a reason. Went a little longer than I thought, and I apologize about that, but still early. Our church is going through a lot right now. It is. A lot of things going on. But God knows exactly where we are. And what I felt this afternoon, I had other things I wanted to preach or felt like I was going to preach. But you know, I got thinking about different things and I got meditating and praying for this service. And I'm like, Lord, help us to come to you in prayer. You know what prayer means? Prayer is? Prayer is a dependence on God. True prayer. Not talking about a ritual. Not talking about just getting down to pray because we know that's what people are supposed to do. But there's a difference in praying, and there's a difference when you're really praying. Really praying is when you're praying from a true heart. And God's able to answer prayer. He knows what we have need of. He knows the way that we take. But the thing is, we got to pray. Why? Because God tells us to. And someone would say, well, God already knows it all. God has all power. God can do what he wants to do. I know that, but God has chosen the means of prayer. I don't know why he's chosen that, but he's chosen it. I think one of the benefits of prayer is this. I know God's all powerful, can do anything he wants to do. But I believe God in his faithfulness and loves us so much, he invites us to be a part. He invites us to believe. And how many agree, you ever had a prayer answered? Is there anything like praying a specific prayer and that prayer coming to pass? You know, when I leave that, when that happens in my life, I'll say something like this. He hears me. He cares about me. Prayer works. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes me. Prayer changes me. Why? Because I'm dependent on him. And me being dependent on him helps me. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. It helps me. It helps me when I come to him. And I realize, God, you hear me. You're my heavenly Father. And you've invited me to come. I think of that Old Testament. All of the rituals. All of the ceremonial cleansings, the sacrifices, the pilgrimage, going to a city in Jerusalem that is loaded with people waiting in line, taking money, buying a lamb, buying a dove, buying a bullock, trying to get to that place where I can have some level of communion with the thrice holy God that's so holy, he shakes Mount Sinai. He's so holy, if I was to march into the holies of holies, I would drop dead. That the high priest would have those bells around the fringes of his garment, a rope around his ankle, that he goes into the holies of holies, unworthy and uncleansed and unatoned for. He'll drop dead. He'll quit hearing the bells ring and they'll drag that corpse out of there because he was not worthy. Go to the book of Hebrews. He tells us we can come with boldness. Access granted. Come. That's what he says. Come, commune with me without fear. With reverence, of course, but without fear of dying. Come. You don't have to kill a lamb. You don't have to slay a bullock. Come. You don't have to make a pilgrimage. Pray where you are. Come. You don't have to go through a priest. Talk to me. Come. What a blessing it is to pray. Come find you a place to pray tonight. Empty those pews, pray in your seat, wherever you like. But pray. The situations that many of you may not know of, but God knows about it, pray. There's things going on in this world, we don't know what to do, but God knows what to do, pray. Let God help you. Let God give you the words, the wisdom, the understanding.